Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your mother.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Hops and Notes for episode 3. Woo! Yay. Joining me for this episode is Alex from Horrible People's Podcast and Turning Tables Podcast.
Woo! Super producer Alex Webster super in the producer. House. Hello. I'm very excited to be here talking about one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. So this episode was an Alex idea, and honestly,
so you hate it?
No, I
send the hate mail to me.
I wanted to do this I'm gonna start on stuff like this anyway. Before we get to that though, I'll talk about how this was her idea. We're gonna crack open a cold boy. This one is from Bottle Logic Brewing in Anaheim. Oh man, what I recommend you do is give it like a good roll, since there's like shenanigans in there for fruit flavors.
Oh, okay.
But from Bottle Logic Brewing,
I didn't know this. Why are we doing this?
Because there's like fruit. They use like fruit puree.
Oh.
And so if you ever get something that says like smoothie seltzer or something like that, where they use fruit puree in the beer and it's like active in there, it's good to roll the can so you move all that shit around and like it doesn't taste flat until the very end and it's just like
gross
pulp.
Ew,
yeah.
Ew, not pulp. Anything but pulp.
Yeah. So, from Bottle Logic in Anaheim, we got Chromosphere.
Yes.
This is not a beer. Woo!
Oh, shit.
This is not a beer. This is an... oh, she died. This is an orange creamsicle-inspired hard seltzer with 5% alcohol. It was originally released during Bottle Logic's Emo Weekend, where they released 6 different drinks with names relating to emo bands or songs or both. This one was originally called Crush, Crush, Crush during that release. Alex.
Yes.
Your thoughts, feels, opinions.
I fucking love this seltzer. I love that it was called Crush, Crush, Crush because orange, like, it makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense. And Crush, Crush, Crush for the uninitiated is a Paramore song, which is why I also suggested this for.
So, we're going to be talking about Paramore's most recent release, This mm-hmm. Is Why.
Oh yeah, are we going to rate this?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, before we get to that though, what are you rating this out of 5 bottle caps?
I'm going to give it a solid 4.5. I'm docking it 4 because it's, or docking it half a star or bottle cap because it's not a beer.
Yeah, it is not a beer. I'm going to give it a solid 3.5. It is verse sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, it's good. It tastes like summer.
That was... Jesus Christ. That was my thing. So I got it at Bottle Logic for the Emo Weekend, and I was just like, I need to, like, hoard these in my fridge until summer so I can, like, drink them in a pool. Like, I just need that. Take them with me on my cruise.
Yeah. Honestly, it's one of my favorite... And they're like, seltzers aren't one of those that are, like, mass-distributed. But the seltzers are usually really good,
yeah.
And like, this honestly doesn't even taste, it just tastes like orange.
Tastes like I'm drinking an orange soda,
mm-hmm.
Which is, part of it is cool, the other, like, it does, like, it's an orange seltzer. It's a creamsicle in a can, like, it's really good.
So when I went to pick these up yesterday, I did ask them, I was like, hey, I know, Crush, Crush, Crush was the same, like, style, is it the same exact drink? And the guy was like, yeah, we just kept that name for, like, the weekend release, mm-hmm. but this is going to be its official name while it's, like, if it's going to be reoccurring or, like, while it's still on tap, we're just going to keep it Chromosphere.
Did you ask if it was going to be reoccurring or...
Oh, dude, that's one of those things that you never know with them.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it's popular enough that they might just keep it around, but...
We'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
I mean, to be fair, the other, like, the hard seltzer, which was capital H, hard.
Oh, fuck.
Was called Seltzers of So Last Summer, and it had a 13.5% ABV or something.
It was ridiculous. 18? I think it was 18.
It was 18. It wasn't 13. Yeah.
It was a cocktail-inspired seltzer.
Yes.
It was so good, but it tasted very dangerous.
It tasted like I was drinking booze. Like,
yeah. It was insane.
It tasted like a cocktail, for sure. But yeah, it was like 18. Yeah, it was 18% ABV. Yeah. Goddamn. It was so good.
Go to Bottle Logic.
God, yeah.
We love and appreciate what they do. But, like I said, in relation to that Crush, Crush, Crush OG name, we are talking about Paramore. This is why.
Yay!
Alex, let's get some info on these boys / girl.
Girl. So, Paramore's one of my favorite bands. So, any opportunity I get to talk about them, I am hyped for. So the band Paramore was formed in 2004 in Franklin, Tennessee. The band currently consists of Hayley Williams as the lead vocalist, guitarist Taylor York, and drummer Zach Farrow. Williams and Farrow are founding members of the group, while York, a high school friend of the original lineup, joined in 2007. There's a, yeah. like, this band has a tumultuous member history.
Yeah, they're changing members more than their own underwear.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes. I'll talk about it when we get to like song notes, but like they're I think at some point also like they just have almost broken up like so many times.
Right.
So in January of 2022, the band confirmed they had entered the studio to work on their sixth studio album after a 4-year hiatus and near disbandment, as I previously mentioned.
Yep.
In those 4 years, Hayley Williams completed two of her own solo albums in 2020 and 2021, called Petals for Armor and Flowers for Vases or Descansos, respectively.
So really quick.
Yes.
Like I said, this was an Alex recommendation, and it was a good idea because this is a band I knew existed and I know is very popular. I didn't really listen to them growing up, so I don't know much mm-hmm. about this band, so it's learning for me too. But also, as I was, you know, as we were writing this and Alex sent me notes on the band, I was like, this is only their sixth album? Like, honestly, yeah. Fuck this band. Like, and then I start getting mad. I'm like, why are they so popular? Like,
so their first album came out in 2007, and then the next one 2009.
Yeah.
And then so pretty much they take about 2 to 3 years between albums. So they did All We Know Is Falling in 2007. I could literally go through the whole discography in my head right now.
Well, that's the thing though. It's like, so that kind of blew my mind. It was like, this band I know very popular. People love the mm-hmm. anthems that they have. I honestly thought they had more albums mm-hmm. recorded. Six is nothing.
Yeah, especially because they've been around for... Actually, I'm sorry. All We Know Is Falling was 2006. So, yeah, they're
coming up on 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Ooh, did not turn my phone on D&D, and that was a close one.
Ooh, thank you for the reminder. Dungeons & Dragons mode, everyone. Don't forget it.
Yeah, so that kind of blows my mind mm-hmm. that six albums, they're insanely popular. People love this band, which I'm not saying they don't deserve it, just mm-hmm. crazy to me. Like, that's so cool.
Do you normally see more output? Because, like, 2 to 3 years seems like a reasonable number of time between albums, or is it, like, every year, or, like...
I think it depends. I don't know how pop punk really, like, how they release their music or even alternative... Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's one of the things, too, that kind of trips me out about them, is, like, they weren't together during big chunks of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we look back at Metallica is one of my favorite bands to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Metallica did Death Magnetic in, like, 2008-ish, 2007, maybe. And then nothing for, like, I don't know, maybe 8 years. And then they released Hardwired, I think, and, like... But Metallica has done more albums than that. Mm-hmm. So, that, I mean, obviously, and then who they are and, like, right. their own popularity.
Also, like, when they were youth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they had the ability to, or, like, you know, they kind of yeah. had the energy to do all that.
Yeah. So. And so they could grind them out. So that's what, like, really, like, man, I'm surprised that this band has done so little and is as big as they are.
Mm-hmm.
At least among, like, my friends, people who I do know like them and they get hyped when they you know, they come on the fucking playlist. But
so my speculation on this, and we'll get back to we'll get back into them in a second. But my speculation on this is Paramore was a perfect storm in like the golden era of pop punk. They were coming up in like they were signed under Fueled by Ramen, which for those who don't know, Fueled by Ramen was like the pop punk label in the early to mid 2000s. And like into the 2010s also, but like it's kind of lost it. It's kind of lost its spark since then. But that era was like it for pop punk. Like Fall Out Boy was initially like under Fueled by Ramen, and I think they own it now. Like I'm not in a
hoof.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, so that is a little bit about like the context because they were also one of the only, they were the most popular female-led or female-facing.
Yeah, I do think that helps, too. Yeah. It's like, she's big on the vocals, like, she's very frontman, like, she's very main character. And yeah, like,
I mean, she works the stage very well. She's very charismatic. And that's also part of it, is, like, she always has had that kind of charisma when she during live performances. Paramore's really known for putting on a very good show.
Right, yeah.
And so that on top of her being, you know, in the scene as a girl in pop punk, which like she talks about now is like just like being a shit show.
Yeah, and I bet it's an absolute like shenanigan. I mean, we saw with Blink-182 where I mean what did you say earlier? With pop punk you get like you're allowed to have
with pop punk you're allowed a little misogyny as a treat.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's so weird when it's like it's the female singer, and like she is the big personality that she is. Like that's pretty dope. I like that a lot about them.
I'm also like so the song that we're talking about is Misery Business, which was one of their earlier albums.
Correct.
She was 21, maybe like between like 19 and 21, I think, when she wrote and like put out that song.
Right.
Which like I had my like you know like everyone kind of well not everyone but like I think. There's a huge, people do a lot of internal work around that time and probably have some internal misogyny issues, which is why for a long time they stopped performing that song live.
Right.
It wasn't until they stopped performing it in 2018. Like they said, this is the last time we're performing it for a really long time or ever. They retired the song. And I think they played it for the first time this year.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Since 2018.
It's a good 5 years off then.
So yeah, they gave it a little bit of a break and kind of because she didn't feel good singing it because she's not the same person as she was when she wrote the song, which makes sense because it is very like I'm not like other girls.
Yeah.
Like, she wears short skirts, I wear t-shirts type shit. Yes, I'm quoting Taylor Swift.
God damn it! All right, let's get back to this album.
Yeah, no. So back to This Is Why. So, the album was released on February 10th, 2023, to general acclaim, very universal. It has an 83% on Metacritic and is praised for Paramore's return to its post-punk roots.
Mm-hmm.
The album has four singles consisting of This Is Why, which released on September 28th, 2022. The News, released on December 8th, 2022. C'est Comme Ça, which released on January 12th, 2023. And Running Out of Time, released on February 16th, 2023.
All right.
We got four singles on this.
Four singles. And the last one came out after the album did. Or like the last one was pushed as a single after the album did, which is cool. I like that. I remember, I think when this album came out, I'd asked you about it. Asked a few of my other friends about it. Like, what do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, like, pretty positive. Here's some more fun facts that Alex, on the band that Alex found for us that I did not translate over into my script because lazy.
I was about to say, am I supposed to pull these up?
No, I got it. They're all Christian. Oh, but sober on tour. And that's very cool. Like I love to see like, especially with, it's a huge thing in like the metal community where like a lot of these older bands now, they're sober and like. Completely sober. They stopped drinking. They stopped partying. All this stuff. Gary Holt in Exodus. I think he went sober for a year. Or he just hit a year like a few months ago. And he's talking about like how much better he feels. And he's like, I feel like I do better shows now when I play and all that stuff. And I love to see like those quote-unquote older bands. And I mean, again, Paramore's not Exodus. They haven't been around that long. They're fucking my age.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I like to... I think that's really cool, and it's kind of like a... It's a mature thing for, like, a band to do if they know, like, hey, this could be bad for us if mm-hmm. we party hard on this fucking tour.
Well, I mean, she's been doing this since she was... I mean, she's been doing this for, like, 20 years. She got Yeah, we'll get into it. But one of the things we talked about also at metal shows, like, just, like, seeing them with their cups of tea.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it's not necessarily drinking related,
so
but
I had
like,
pointed it out to Alex, is a lot of vocalists, especially people who like who growl and scream and like they have bigger voices, they'll drink tea in between songs because it's very good for the throat. And it's I like one of those kind of hidden gems that like if you don't pay attention, it's whatever, and like you don't know. But that's how they do it for 60 plus days on the road or wherever, where they mm-hmm. go all over the place, country to country for years, or it seems like a whole year back-to-back shows. Dude's just drinking tea, saving his vocals as much as they can.
Well, it's,
or he or she, depending
yeah,
on what band
yeah,
it is.
Well, it's so funny to me because also, like, the typical, like, picture that you get is, like, someone, like basically the epitome of, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin on
yeah.
stage. Like, someone just, like, fucking, like, just, like, throwing them back on stage. They're drinking tea.
They're drinking tea.
It's
and
good
Anthrax
for the throat.
Drinks a lot of Monster on stage, but I think they're sponsored.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or they have a connect. Like, all every time I've seen them.
Monster.
Shit tons of Monster.
Yeah.
Big hoof. I can't do it, but that's just me.
Yeah.
They almost split up a variety of times. The departure of Josh Farro is filled with internal drama, citing he didn't like the kind of Christian Haley was.
And then, so...
I looked up at Alex and I was like, well, what flavor of Jesus is she? Like, is she America Jesus? Or, like, is
no,
she's
like
hate
someone.
The gays Jesus?
No. She's someone who, like, sits on stage and is just, like, fucking love each other.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Interesting.
Like, she's, like, the kind of person, like, on multiple times on tour, like, she's, like, stop shows and be like, no fucking fighting. Like,
yeah.
I'm tired. Like, she, like, that's happened enough. Like, and then. There was one really funny video where she's just like, if you guys keep fighting, I'm going to come down there and kick your ass. Like,
it was... I think I saw that video on Instagram, actually.
Yeah.
Is that recent?
Yeah. Because they're touring right now.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I was going to say. I remember seeing them.
I'm seeing them in July.
Yeah. The name Paramore came from the maiden name of the mother of one of their first bass players.
Yeah. Which I think is funny.
That's kind of cool. I mean...
Yeah.
Super random, but...
So, the other Farro brother, Zach uh-huh. Farro, he left at the same time, and he ended up coming back later.
Right. Yeah, I see that. So, she gave me a good timeline of, like, who's been in the band at what time. This is the most confusing thing I've ever seen
it's
in my
life.
It's
straight from Wikipedia.
Yeah, and I'm like, who's that? John Hembry? Hembry?
He's,
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's only there for a year. And I'm like, don't even fucking include him. He's dead.
But he's...
He's not dead, but he's dead to me. Like,
but
also...
Zach and Josh left at the same time. Zach came back, and now Zach and Haley are dating.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, there's...
So we have a fun breakup coming soon?
I don't think so. We'll see.
We will.
I don't think so. I think that they kept their whole relationship under wraps for, like, a really long time because of, like, they just didn't want people to, like, get all up in their shit. And so, I don't know how long they've been together.
All
but...
up in them guts.
Yeah.
Speaking of Haley, she was originally signed to Atlantic Records as a solo artist in 2003 when she was 14. Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's also insane. Like...
Why a 14-year-old? That's what I want to know.
2003. Who was popular in 2003? Pop music. Teens. What were the kids listening to?
Hilary Duff.
That could be why.
Could yeah, that's fair.
Another small white girl. The record company's original plan was to turn her into a pop singer. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But Haley resisted, saying she wanted to play alternative rock music with a band and was signed to Fueled by Ramen instead. So that's really cool.
I could do a whole episode on Fueled by Ramen because there's like history and like the whole
we
label.
We can do that. Special it's... labels. Because that'd be fun. But like, yeah, that, I mean, good for her, I guess. And like,
good
I'm
for her.
Super surprised that Atlantic was like, okay, bye. Like, but again, she was a kid. Maybe she had some help like legally, but That's intense.
Yeah. I'm trying. So Hayley Williams also, like, in terms of, like, relationships, she married Chad Gilbert for, like, a year.
I saw that. Yeah. Also, big oof on Chad's.
Well, he's also one of, like, the founding members of Newfound Glory. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, I don't know. Not uncomfortably older, but, like, he's older.
Okay.
He's, like, 42.
That marriage only lasted a year.
It did. And it gave her really, really, really bad depression and also, once again, almost broke up the band.
Beautiful.
Not beautiful. And, yeah, so she, like, they were only married for, like, a year.
Dang. But, I mean, also, I guess good for them, since they're not together anymore.
Well, yeah, now she's happily in a relationship with the drummer for Paramore. So, we'll see how that goes.
I did find some critical reception of this album. Like you said, a lot of people were like, it's them going into the post-punk and art-punk traditions.
Yeah.
I did not read any of these reviews before I listened to it. I listened to them, or I read them after I listened to the album.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, what the fuck is this? Or like, a lot of these songs. And then I look and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There was one.
That's cool, though, that you didn't let them, like, influence how you experienced the album.
So, like you said, mostly positive. A lot of people were really hyped. Chris Thiessen from Under the Radar noted the album, quote, suffers slightly from front-loading imbalance.
Yes.
End quote.
I agree.
But still felt the album was, quote, well-executed, offers a glimpse into the ways we've all had to deal with the universal and particularly, I don't know what the fuck.
Simultaneously.
In these last few years. There was another one. There was a bad one that I wanted to read to you. I
completely agree with that review, though. I think, yeah, we'll get into it.
They said it was front-loaded with lyrical missteps and ironies that would make Alanis Morissette roll her eyes.
Wow.
Who was that? Who said that?
That's fucking rough and unnecessary.
That was Pitchfork. So Pitchfork got a little aggressive about it. I will say I did find some chart stuff. Charts, they peaked on U.S. Billboard 200 at number 2, U.S. top alternative albums on Billboard at number 1, and U.S. top rock albums at number 1. It looks like they overall did very well. Australia number 1, Austria 16, Belgium 12. I don't know. Japanese hot albums, it debuted at 100. Japanese rock albums, 16. Japanese Western albums, 27. Not bad.
Yeah, people fucking like Paramore.
That's very cool. Good for them. UK albums, in parentheses, OCC. No idea what that is. Number 1. Like, fucking great. People loved it. Official Charts Company.
Oh, damn. Okay, I was looking at it.
I just had to hover over it. But yeah. This is why. The track listing is This Is Why. The News, Running Out of Time. Could you please say this French title?
C'est comme ça.
Big Man, Little Dignity. You First, Figure 8. Liar, Crave, and Thick Skull. There's 10 songs on this album for an hour or 36 minutes and 12 seconds. I will say, first note, before we even talk about any of these songs, I am so mad Figure 8 is not track 8. What the fuck is their problem? It's an absolute nightmare. I was looking at it and I was typing. I was like,
all they had to do was switch Liar and Figure 8 too.
Yes.
Although I do think it kind of fits in terms of like the story that the album tells.
Yeah, I agree. It does fit, but like throw in an instrumental or something. Like, God damn it.
God damn it.
Damn it, Haley. You're killing your father.
You're upsetting your father.
All right, let's get into this album. Track 1, This Is Why. Alex, did you like to give me your thoughts on this?
Read my notes?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll read them out of order. First one, God, I love this song. This Is Why I Don't Leave the House. So true. Mm-hmm. the little... Dun-dun after I Don't Leave the House lives rent-free in my head. I don't leave the house, dun-dun. Like, it's so good. I love it. Also, guitar heavy, question mark? Is this funky? I don't know music. I don't know how things work.
All right, so what I wrote is that intro is trippy as fuck.
Okay.
It's, the intro's so weird. It's not bad. Yeah, it's just, I was like, oh, what the fuck? Okay. I really like the bass groove in this song. The hook feels like it can be an intro to a sitcom. Like, the whole chorus, I was like, oh, I could put this to, like, Full House or something. Yeah. Super chanty. It's so much. It's a lot of fun.
It's a great single.
I wrote, this is why.
This is why.
Oh, my God. It's a good song. It definitely sets the tone for the rest of this album. And that's why, like, this is why, when I listened to this album, it tripped me out so much. Because I was like, what band is this? Like, am I listening to the right thing? Because it's not what I expected.
I remember texting you, because when the album came out, I listened to it on my drive home. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I thought it would be really cool to cover, because it's not what people imagine when they imagine a Paramore album. They imagine the kind of shit that they were putting out like 15 years ago.
Right. And that's what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting a band to try and do what they did 15 years ago. Nah, this is completely different. I respect the balls to do this move.
Yeah.
You have any other notes for one?
Those are the notes for This Is Why. It's a really good, I think it's a very strong single.
I think so.
I remember when the song came out as a single and I was just like, oh, so this is the direction we're going in. Like, fucking sick.
All right. Second is The News.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Okay. So I said maybe my least favorite single, but also same about the whole song. I said this song describes what my Instagram fatigue feels like. When you're doom scrolling, this is what doom scrolling feels like.
Okay.
Did you listen to the lyrics?
Yeah. I wrote on the lyrics I really liked was the war behind my eyes. And we don't know the half of it. It's almost like kind of conspiracy-esque again, like going back to like the aliens exist thing, where like the news is lying to us on both sides, and it's not very like super conservative or super liberal. Like, it's just a straight up, like, we don't know
what's going on.
Yeah, everything.
So the news to me, like, it describes like Instagram, like doom scrolling to me, like how it feels like when it's just like, when like something really bad happens, and like basically when you're on Instagram and it's just like,
that's all you see.
That's all you see, and it's like, and you can't just like, and then there's a line where it's like being able to ignore it is a privilege or something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I mean, it's true, but also at the same time, like, I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted. It also, this song, it sounds the most old Paramore in this album to me. Mainly in the vocals, like and maybe it's like just the combination of the guitar and the vocals that's a little bit more rocky.
Sorry,
it's okay. You're forgiven. That sounds a little bit more rocky to me, but that was my take for the news.
So what I wrote was, I feel like she wanted like a bigger sound when the hook came in, because she went full, like, it was very, you know, like she got louder. The vocals were huge from her, but like the guitar tone wasn't there. It felt like almost muted, or like they could have like, you know, he hits a pedal and adds an effect to like give the guitar more presence, and it just wasn't there. Very fun song. I do wish she got that, like, that extra push from the guitar to kind of like fill in the chorus,
to kind of like slingshot it into
because it did, like, I was like, oh, this is clearly the hook, but like I felt like it was just her and the drummer pushing.
Okay.
That, like, the vibe, or, like, the whole point of, you know, maybe this is a song they play live or whatever. But, like, I wasn't getting it from the guitar tone. Just my opinion.
Okay.
What do we have for track 3? What is the name of track 3?
Running Out of Time.
Running Out of Time. I want to start really quick. In all caps, I have, is this an ADHD anthem? Because
I don't know, these songs are relatable as fuck in all caps.
Because God damn it.
That was my first note, you son of a bitch.
Well, it isn't, it feels, that's exactly what, like, my friends who, like, have, like, you know, ADHD and talk about it a lot with me, and, like, I'm sure I have a flavor of it too, I'm just stupid. And I refuse to go to the doctors because it's expensive. But
I told my therapist I think I have ADHD, and she sent me a questionnaire about it. I still haven't taken it, which I think is
a... I think that's, like, number one is, like, how many days has it been?
Here's your sign.
I wrote super trippy intro with the bass line.
Yeah.
I love that hook. And then when she hits that first, she hits that real high mm-hmm. note. And, like, that was really cool to me. I was like, that captures the whole mood. And the bass stays groovy during the hook. But, yeah, to me, this is an ADHD anthem. This is what, like, my ADHD people listen to it and like, oh, yeah, hit me.
Well, also, as someone who perpetually runs, like, 10 minutes late to things, I felt heard, felt
represented.
Yes. For me, the same thing where she goes, no regard, and then just screams. Yeah. Like, it scratches my brain, dude. Yeah,
it was so good. I think it, like, and again, maybe that was the point. Maybe, you know, it wasn't. I really liked it. I think it, like, it captured a mindset, because that is a mindset now. Like, it's a regular mindset, especially for, you know, people our age. And, like, I can say our age and include her because she's not that much older than us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's such a relatable song.
That's a point that I'm going to bring up later. Okay. So let's remember that. Because right. She is, like, she's around the same age as us. So. Yeah.
All right.
Do you want me to say the name for the next
one? So before we get to the next one, I am going to make you say it. Yeah, I was going to say, so this album, because it's only 30 minutes long, you power through it so fast.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that again at the end, but like, I have some thoughts and feels on that.
Yeah.
Track 4, Let Me Get That French.
C'est comme ça.
There you go. Translates to?
It's kind of like it is what it is.
That's exactly what I have written down in quotes. It is what it is. And then I wrote, yay, French? Question mark?
Yay, French. No, it's a French saying where it's kind of just like, that's how it is. Or like, that's, it is what it is, basically. Yeah. Would be a good English one for one.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, plot twist. I fucking speak French, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I fucking love this song. It's actually probably my favorite song on this album.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. It's also unfortunately the shortest.
It is the shortest.
It's like a minute
It's a minute and a half. There's only like 4 lyrics
mm-hmm.
in the whole thing.
Yeah, but it has my favorite lyric in the whole fucking album.
Which is?
I know that regression is rarely rewarded. I still need a certain degree of disorder. I hate to admit getting better is boring, but the high price of chaos, who can afford it?
Ooh.
Which I wrote down.
Big pop. Oh my god.
He just spilled fucking seltzer all over.
But not the computer. That's what matters. Please hold. No, continue.
No. So this is my favorite song on the album. The talk singing, it just immediately gave me Talking Heads vibes. Like, I immediately was just like, their impact, like, the talk singing, it just, so fucking good. But that lyric in particular, I told you I'd mention this later. Mm-hmm. Part one, like, part of it is now. But the whole album, really. But one of the things that I love about Paramore and kind of being the same age as Hayley Williams and as most of Paramore, is the albums that she writes also coincides with, like, big life events for me.
Mm-hmm.
And C'est Comme Ça is a song that she wrote about, like, getting better mentally and, like, kind of missing the chaos of, like, when shit hits the fan and, like, kind of being in a spiral.
Right.
And that's something that really spoke to me, just, like, with my own mental health mm-hmm. struggles and getting to a point now where I'm just, like, I'm medicated and I'm happy and things are going well. And, like, getting to a point where you're just, like, I'm happy, now what? And, right. like, just, like, kind of in, like, so the line where it's, like, I hate to admit getting better is boring. Like, that.
Yeah.
Like, I was just, like... fuck. Oh shit.
So I have down as in quotes, it is what it is, yay French. And then I wrote, this sounds like it could have been a track from the 80s. It has big that new wave of 80s mm-hmm. music. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds very Talking Heads, like it sounds like it belongs in a time period that isn't this one, and I like that so much. It mm-hmm. they captured a mood so well with little to no warning on, like, just huge vibe change with the entire album. Love it. And then my last note is, na 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 na. But no, honestly, very cool song. It might be my favorite on the track.
It's definitely my favorite single.
Okay. I will say, track 4, and track 5 are the two that are fighting for my
yes
for my favorite spot. And track 5 is Big Man, Little Dignity.
Yes, yes,
Alex,
yes.
Let me get those thoughts.
I said this is really different for them, and I, for one, like seeing them branch out.
Uh-huh.
I think it's really good, and I said this is such a smooth fuck you song.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge diss. Like, and even if it's at no one in particular, just writing to write and talk shit, like, oh, so good. My first, I was typing my notes, obviously, I was listening to every song mm-hmm. as it was going. From the beginning, I wrote, that flute, though. Like, there, I was just like, ooh.
Give me that.
Okay.
Give me the flute. Can I have the flute?
Can I have the flute? But no, I think, again, weird vibe, like, completely different mm-hmm. from what, like, you would think. The flute was great. The opening guitar riff was great. And
the
then
synths
I write,
in this? Like, there's a little synthy action?
Yeah.
Like, I really liked it.
And then I wrote, so these toxic relationships make fun songs, right?
So that's the unfortunate thing, like, about this whole album, where it's just kind of like, oh yeah, like, shit going bad is, it makes for great content.
Yeah. I mean, man, fucking Vietnam, some of the best music we've ever had.
Thanks
Vietnam.
Thanks CCR.
Right? Yeah, shout out CCR and everybody else at fucking Woodstock and all those fucking hippie communes and shit.
Yeah.
I did write, all the effects on the guitar are dope, like, mm-hmm. The intro is different than the verses, is different than the hook, and it's more or less like the same riff being played, like just in different picking patterns, but like the effects that change, I was like, oh, like, oh shit, like, where was this in fucking track 2?
I was not expecting this to be one of your favorite songs.
I liked it a lot. And mm-hmm. then again, the lyrics just a big, like,
fuck you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked that so much. It was, whew, mm-hmm. good times. You have anything else?
No, I really, really liked it. It was one of, definitely a contender for one of my favorites. But the number 2 contender for my favorite is actually the next song.
What's the next song?
You First.
Oh, man.
No, I'm kidding.
God damn it. As soon as I wrote it, I was like, it's going to be me or her. Somebody's going to do this bit. God damn it.
Gotcha.
We're quitting the podcast.
Gotcha.
The first thing I wrote down is a lyric. Living well is not my kind of revenge. I love that line.
Dude, I wrote down the same lyric.
It might be my favorite lyric. Whew. And then, because Alex is here, I love that this song exists. Because I'm both the killer and the final girl.
Oh. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
We had the same brain when we wrote this. Because literally, I also wrote the horror reference. This song. Yeah.
And then the last lyric I wrote down was, let me revel in your defeat. I have 100% had that thought. Where like, mm-hmm. and it wasn't even like, not even towards a person or like, just a, like, a thing to like, help me feel better. Like, I wanted to like, you know, be better at something. I wanted to do something mm-hmm. like to the best of my ability. And like, when you outdo that thing or you beat that person, and it's not even like, it doesn't have to be a personal beef or like, it just, maybe it's you and your friends playing a sport or whatever and you do better than them. Like, fuck yeah. And I'm going to rub it in their faces too. But like, that's a thought I've had. Like, let me revel in that win, mm-hmm. like over you or like over this. I love that. I love a song about wishing bad on ones that hurt you because fuck them. They don't deserve it.
Yeah. So this is, again, also a very good fuck you song. Again, karma's going to come for all of us, and I hope she comes for you first, mm-hmm. is the lyric that, like, kind of is it's the chorus lyric. I love this song, and now talking about it reminds me why it's, like, it's literally C'est Comme Ça and this are, like, neck and neck for my favorite song on this album. Yeah, living well is not my kind of revenge. Like, I wrote that lyric and then I said, girl, same.
I wrote that maybe for a different song?
Girl, same.
It'll come up later, but I did write a lyric, then girl, same.
And then I also wrote, who hurt Hayley Williams? I would love to have a chat.
Absolutely. The entire album has that vibe, like, who betrayed this poor child?
Oh, yeah.
Like, God damn it.
Yeah. So for you first, I think for me, it hits a particular chord where, like, I've also been in that situation where I'm just like, everyone says, like, living well is the best kind of revenge against someone.
Fuck
and
that.
And I know people who've said it have meant well by it. But also at the same time, I'm just like, I want to see this person's life go up in fucking flames.
I'm definitely, I go full, what is it? The player haters ball from Chappelle's show. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you. And I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and only you. Like, that's me, man. Like, especially if you get on my bad side and like, no, I'm me being better makes a best friend. Fuck that. No, revenge. I want my revenge.
No, in particular in the context of the song where it sounds like she got scorned big time. Yeah. I wonder who it's about.
So that's what I was going to ask you too. So since we're here and we brought it up just because of how aggressive this song is lyrically, is she pulling a Taylor Swift and talking about next?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I think a lot of this is talking about hurt from her previous relationship because let me check my sources before I make an ass out of myself as
we're
a Paramore fan.
We're checking the sacred texts, a.k.a. the internet.
A.k.a. the internet.
God bless them internets.
Okay, so After Laughter is the last album that came out before...
The divorce?
No, well, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think
2017.
Okay, yeah, definitely before the divorce then.
Okay.
After Laughter has the poppiest beats, and it's super, like, if you just listen to the music without listening to the words, it is a very happy-sounding album.
Okay.
The lyrics are the most depressing shit you will ever hear in your life.
So it's The Cure?
Yes.
It's a Cure album. Okay.
Kind of. But it doesn't have, like, the melancholic sadness of The Cure. It's straight up, like, poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the album because it's very, very, like, it came out at a time where, same thing. Like, I was happy, but I was, like, fucking miserable all the time. Where was I going with this? What were we talking about?
If this is a Taylor Swift song.
So, yes, this is a Taylor... But this is also around the same time that, like, she was in a relationship with... fuckhead.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Yeah, and so that track's getting into here where basically this album is just her talking about, like, everything that had happened with that. Because basically she said, like, the most depressed she had ever been in her life was in that relationship. So her getting out of that relationship and then now I guess the catharsis of writing the songs.
And being able to, like, get out that aggression.
So to answer your question, yes, I do think this is absolutely a big ol' fuck you.
I mean, again... Good for her.
Good for her.
I love to see it. And even if, like, you know, they're good and, like, whatever, and, like, it's still...
I don't think they are. I think that they're...
I mean,
yeah.
But even if they were, like, and she just needed to, like, write some shit to get out some rage, like, fuck it, girl, get that rage out.
See,
like,
yeah.
You're not name-dropping. You're not, like, getting super weird. Mm-hmm. It's so... It's not even targeted. It's just general, like, a general feel. And I think that's why, maybe that's why, at least said this is the vibe I'm getting from this album, is it's why people relate to this music so much. And, like, her specifically, her lyrical style, like, it's so non-specific that, like I said, everybody's felt something. I told you, like, that Let Me Revel in Your Defeat. Like, I've definitely felt that way before.
I mean, everyone who's experienced heartbreak has, like, The Living Well Is Not My Kind of Revenge, like, has felt that fucking feeling. Like, I don't think anyone has gone directly to, I'm going to live my best life and that's the best kind of revenge. Like, no! I want to be mad! I'm going to burn your shit on the fucking... Like, no, fuck you.
Oh my god. All right.
So,
overall thoughts on this song, because again, I like this song a lot. It's very good. I like the rage behind it.
Female rage will always just be, like, top tier lyrical shit for me. Like, I like that the shit talker brought up Alanis Morissette, because also she is, like, a top tier fucking female rage lyricist to
and
me.
And maybe that's why, like, whoever at Pitchfork was like, you know, I see you trying to pull your Alanis shit and, like, it didn't hit. And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, it's very different. And, like...
Yeah. It's not Alanis, but also, like, I fucking love Alanis.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Maybe they were just on an Alanis, like, rampage for a bit. And so they're, you know, they're collecting mine.
Well, I think it's the lyrics that it's just, like, again, it's the female rage. I think whoever wrote it, like, identified female rage. And was just like, oh, this is an Alanis thing. And I'm like, it's not.
It's just angry women.
It's a human emotion.
Yeah. Like, let her be mad. God damn it.
God damn it.
All right. Speaking of God damn it, here we go to track 7. Figure 8.
Oof.
I'm going to start because I only have two things written for this. Yeah. Ringtone ass intro. And it goes on for a bit, too.
Yeah.
And yay for self-redemption arcs.
Yeah. I said it feels kind of dreamy in the beginning. Like, it just kind of has this spacey, like, whatever. Like
ringtone.
It's a ringtone. And it's not my favorite, but it's not bad.
Nah. I can't just, after, I think, I don't know, I was like.
It's rough going from you first, like a fucking, like, fire fucking track to figure eight.
Yeah.
Because this is the pivot where, like, the people who said it's a front-loaded album, this is the pivot.
Right.
Where I think people kind of are just like, where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
Is this only two songs after that? Or three?
Three.
Yeah. Fucking. Should have been track eight. I don't have much to say on it. Like, I don't hate the song, but, like, meh.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been better. Alex, what is actually track eight?
Liar.
Yeah. I know a lot of good songs with this title. Go ahead, let me get the thoughts, feels,
I was going to say, notes. Do you think this is also a good song?
Alright, so I'll start.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I wrote, this feels like a track that was left off a Lana Del Rey album.
Which is high praise for you?
I don't know. I will say I was not expecting to call herself the liar, just because of the way the album has been going. And I was like,
fucking loved that shit. Oh? I loved that shit.
Yeah, I honestly had to listen to it a few times because I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I was not ready for that. Very cool. Very cool concept. Also, the high praise for you question mark from Alex is because I fucking love Lana Del Rey. It's not even a joke. I love her music so much. But yeah, I don't know. It maybe it was something that, like, it felt like something Lana Del Rey could have had on an album, and just like, nah, I'm gonna cut it.
Yeah.
It's overall meh, but very cool concept.
I said, Paramore, you hurt me so good. No, this song, like, okay, so what I do when I listen to these albums is I have my phone with the lyrics next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the lyrics open, and then I have it playing on my TV.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I can look at the lyrics and then play note, or, like, write notes. So if there's, like, a particular lyric, I'm like, what is it?
Yeah, and I that's usually my process, too. Like, thankfully, on Spotify, if you listen to this album, they mm-hmm. have the lyrics going with the song. Like, you know how they don't have it for every single one?
Mm-hmm.
This one, every single song on this album is lyriced.
Because it's popular.
Well, and it's new.
Yeah,
And so, like, that was cool. So I was able to keep my phone out, have my notes page open, and just, like, type. And if I saw something cool, I'd do the same thing. I'd pause or go back and, like,
yeah.
Cool.
This song, I liked. It was, like, it was just sad for me.
It's definitely a sad song. Like I say, Lana Del Rey has that, like, sad jazzy vibe.
Yeah.
And this one, I mean, obviously it's a little more rocky, but, like, it had that weird, like, haunting sad vibe.
Yeah. So one of the lyrics is, pin back in the grenade and all the ways I'd keep you safe, I'd keep you safe from me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like someone who's just, like, basically not pursuing something because she's just, like, because she thinks that, like, she's not in a good space.
Right. And it feels like a lot of the lyrics are, like, the vibe. It felt like one of those things where, if we're gonna put it in, like, to relationship vibes, because that's the whole thing it's giving.
This album is giving relationship vibes. This song is definitely giving relationship vibes.
It feels like one of those things where, like, she was with somebody for too long
mm-hmm.
and, like, didn't speak about, like, hey, I'm not about this anymore.
Mm.
And maybe that's why she feels like a liar, because, like, you know, lying isn't always saying a not truth. It's also holding back the truth kind of idea. So, like, that's why I had that idea too. Like, maybe she was in a shit situation and didn't say anything for too long, and so she considers herself a liar for being quiet about it.
I love that take, because one of the interviews that she did about her marriage was her talking about how, like, she kind of knew it was doomed from the start, and she said it was like a slow motion train wreck that she couldn't get away from.
Yeah, and that's the whole vibe of that song.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Paramore hurts me so good. I fucking, like, this song, like, if I ever just need to be, like, make myself sad, I'm just gonna listen to this song. Although, to be fair, the next song is definitely, I think, more that.
All right, let's get into it. What's the next song?
The next song's Crave, number 9.
Crave. Literally, first note, Crave! Ooh, very fun song. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, first song. As a daydreamy bitch, I of course love this song. I feel a little bummed about the track order. Like, I think I feel like this should have been a little higher.
This wasn't a single, right?
No.
It should have been. I think it definitely should have been a single.
Yeah. So another bitch me too lyric. I romanticize even the worst of times.
I literally wrote yay for romanticizing those bad times and shit. And shit was literally what I said.
And shit. No, I love this song. I think it speaks to a lot of people who like, there's another lyric that like I wrote where I was just like, so I talked about it earlier about how a lot of these albums have kind of like, I feel like they've grown with me.
Right.
And that's why I love Paramore so much, is so many of their albums, like I found them when I was in like middle school and it was all like I'm not like other girls, like angsty shit, like super toxic romantic shit. And then like they've gotten older and matured as I've gotten older and matured. And one of the lyrics is, what if I told him now that I'm older, there isn't a moment I'd want to change.
Right.
And that got to me because that's something that I think about all the time. Because like everyone thinks like, well, what if I went back and did things differently? Like what would I do differently? And I think about that all the time. And one of the things, like, I wouldn't be here with like these podcasts.
Right.
If I went back and did things differently, because I wouldn't have met Anthony.
And that's the thing, is I think about those things. I mean, and I think that's a common thought where, like, mm-hmm. what if I went back and did something different? And like, a pivotal moment, like, maybe I, you know, I save a relationship I could have saved. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I make this choice in school instead of doing what I did. And it's so funny because, like, I do the same thing when I think about stuff like that. Like, when you have, like, a real depressing day, like a real emo day. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll come home. And, like, I'll be sitting there, like, literally, I'll sit on my couch watching TV and whatever the fuck I have on in the background. But, like, I'm sitting there with my dog and, like, I'm petting him and, like, I'll be thinking all these thoughts and, like, depressed. And I'm like, man, you know what, though? Like, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have my job. I wouldn't have my dog. I wouldn't have met so many people. And I'm like, damn, dude, like, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But, like,
it sucks that you went through it.
Yeah. And it's this thing. It's like, so that whole that I wrote big emo lyrics, like, I love the vibe from this song. So really quick, in order what I wrote, like I said, I listened to these songs with my computer open for notes.
Mm-hmm.
the lyrics if available on my phone, or I'll just have a separate window on my second screen. And like I wrote the hanging chords for the verses, ooh, where it's just that like bing and it just fucking hangs and I'm like, ooh,
spicy.
Okay.
Shit.
So I wrote that, like, so dope. The next sentence goes, ooh, and it's in the hook too. but like the tone is very kind of, there's a lot of reverb. They hang and like they vibrate a little
bit.
It's
dreamy.
Yeah, you get that dreamy vibe. And then in the hook, it's still there, but they add like a small amount of crunch to it. So it hits, it's oh my God, it's like a stone.
Yes.
And then like, but like when the chords hit for the hook, mm-hmm. like you feel all of it.
I like how you sang the parody version.
Yeah, in this house. Yeah. I can't not say in this house anymore.
In this house.
Shout out to Skid and Ring again. But no, it's one of those things where that the way that was put together musically from the guitar player, like, ooh, so good. Shout out to whoever. I mean, if it was his idea, or if the sound engineer was like, you know, let's add a little crunch to that. Like, oh, man, love it. Honestly, one of the better songs should have been a fucking single.
Shout out to Taylor York.
Yes.
The guitarist. Yeah.
Great, great writing. Mm-hmm. Just overall, oof, great song. And we're closing it out with Thick Skull.
Yes.
Go ahead, Alex. Let me get those thoughts and feels.
Yeah. So they tend to close out on slow songs like this. So I really like that they're sticking to tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So the songs on the previous albums, My Heart, Misery Business Acoustic, All I Wanted, which is a fucking icon of a song.
Okay.
Future, which is one of my also personal favorite Paramore songs. And then Tell Me How. Like, all of these songs like have like a slower, more like melancholic vibe to them,
right.
And I think this song is no exception. And then I wrote, a lot of these songs are really relatable. And then I also wrote the same thing that I've been fucking evangelizing this entire time. I feel like a lot of people my age grew up with Paramore and went through a lot of life transitions at the same time as them, which is why their music is so fucking relatable.
Right.
And why people continue to listen to their music, even though it's not necessarily the same genre.
Yeah.
I think their genre, their taste, and like their style has changed, which is a good thing.
I love, that's one of the things I love for bands. Like, I love when they mix it up enough. Like, we talked about it with Iron Maiden and Killers, where like, every album has, like, it's definitely always going to be an Iron Maiden album.
Right.
But, like, the vibe, the feel, like, the guitar tones may be similar, especially if you don't play guitar, you don't, like, listen or to like, a lot of, like, different tones.
The vocals, but, like
yeah, yeah, it's just enough. The attitude slightly changes just enough mm-hmm. to where, like, I think Paramore, for sure, I'm going to say they're not a consistent pop punk band, mm-hmm. but they're a consistent alternative band
mm-hmm.
where it's never the same enough to stay in that one space. Where like with Blink, it's all pop punk albums.
Right.
Like that's what they did. That's what they do. And like, it's not bad. Like, good for them. Like, they're fucking successful. Well, yeah, people love it.
They're consistent in the genre, but Paramore, I feel like Hayley has always wanted to experiment with things that like she's gotten inspiration from. Like, I remember yeah. she's also cited Talking Heads as like a huge inspiration.
Well, that's the thing. It's, I'll take alternative or I'll take art punk.
Mm-hmm.
Art punk is great, is a great way to describe this band, this album. Here we go with my,
okay, yes.
my lyrics. I wrote, magnet for broken pieces, attracted to broken people. Girl, same. God damn. Like, I had to pause it and I was like, dog, I've been attacked by this woman I've never met. Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, I heard that lyric. I'm like, it's going to come up.
And then I wrote, I too enjoy being hurt. For life lessons.
Oh, yeah, for life lessons.
Just give me character building arcs.
You're all character
just,
building?
Just, it's all crying.
God damn.
But no, honestly, very good song. Again, very relatable. I think Magnet for Broken Pieces, Attracted to Broken People is the first lyric. And I was just like, excuse me while I push pause, write this down, and then think and about then my life.
And continue with the song.
Yeah, and then right. write Girl Same, and then continue with the song.
God damn. Well, also just, like, the idea where it's, like, I have to learn lessons because I have a fucking thick skull. Like, I'm just like, yeah, bitch, yes. I'm a...
Because idiot. God damn. So yeah. that's...
Hit over the head epiphany over my head repeatedly, like... Yes, like life lessons, dude. Yeah, thick skull never did nothing for me. Same lesson again. Come on, give it to me.
Yup.
Like it's an anthem for people who keep making the same mistakes and expecting different results.
We're out here in these streets.
We are out here. We're so sad.
Hell is repetition.
Hell is repetition.
God damn it.
Jesus what a Christ. Fucking album. I'm so glad you, like, as I was listening to it, I'm like, I know I love this album. I'm like, if Danny hates this album, I'm gonna be so
no,
fucking
honestly,
sad.
Again, not what I expected. I don't listen to any Paramore at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a journey for me, which I'm hoping that's the point of this. It's like, mm-hmm. I not only do I want to expose, like, the listeners to music, but, like, I want to listen to things I wouldn't listen to before. This is definitely on that list. Again, I was like, I know Paramore is a pop punk album or a pop punk band, or I originally thought. And then when it started, that's when I was like, what the
this
fuck?
This is one.
Yeah. I was like,
I don't leave the house. Dun, dun.
Yeah. And I was like, what is happening? Is this the same band? Like, and it's not, because I mean, you were just, you sang it the whole time. They changed so much and they make it known in their mm-hmm. their music, their lyrics, the way they do things. Like,
once,
I love that.
Once we're off air, I'm gonna play a song from their first album for you. I want you to hear, like, the, just the fucking difference.
Because no,
even Misery Business is, like, their second album.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even then, there's, like, still, like, a jump. So
album 6. Let's get this a rating.
Yeah.
And Alex laughed because when I sent her the script, she went down and saw it. We're going to rate this out of 5 Memories of Better Times.
Or is it Memories of Worse Times? Because I feel like this album is just kind of like...
Yeah, it's a little bit of both.
It's a little melancholic.
I think I wrote that while I was listening to... Which one was I listening to? Man, Memories of Better Times? It was probably
right. It was probably
Big Man, Little Dignity.
Oh, okay.
But, I don't know, pick one.
I'm going to give this a 4.
A 4 out of 5?
I think so. I really like this album. I will say it is a little front loaded. I think towards the end, like, it just gets emo. Like, it just gets really sad. Like, I think if I'm having a good day, I'll listen to the first half. I think if I'm having a bad day, I'll listen to the second.
Okay.
I think that that's the vibe for me. So I will give it 4. I'm the opposite of how I rate things on Horrible People. On Horrible People, I'm a huge critic. On here, I'm just like, I'm just here for a good time. Yeah. I just love music.
Honestly, I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. Solid album. Honestly, I was not expecting to like as many of the songs as I did.
Are you going to listen to any more of them again?
I might have to dive deep into this at some point after I catch up on last podcast, maybe. But I do want to, like, get into it now. Like, now it has my attention. Like, now this band, like, I want to go listen to more of them. We'll probably cover...
Lyrically, still pretty similar.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to say, like, it's evolved. But, like, if you want, like, that, like, punchy, like, I'm thinking about my life now type shit.
Yeah.
They got you.
But I think that's the thing is, like, very dope about this band is I know they're, I mean, only 6 albums. I can probably power through them in a day at work because they're not long.
Yeah. Well, also, they're very talented lyricists. Like, yeah. Music, yes, they have great, like, music, but also, like, the lyrics are fucking incredible.
Yeah. She's a great writer. I don't know who else contributed to the writing.
They all did.
All tracks are written by the 3 of them and produced by Carlos de la Garza.
Thanks, Carlos.
You killed it on the production. But yeah, I think their writing is great. Fucking music is cool. Again, I will probably start listening to them a little more.
Yes. I've converted one person, and now all of you listening, I swear Paramore's good.
Nah, go check it out. Honestly, I do think it's very relatable and just generalized enough that, like, you'll feel a feel and you'll have a memory to something. And whether good or bad, like, you're going to be like, oh, fuck that. Like, I've done that before, or, like, I've had these thoughts, or whatever.
Yeah. You First is a great song to drive to. Again, I listened to this whole album while I was driving, so I did kind of, because I was driving, I zoned out, because the second half of my commute is on the freeway, which it did not work out well for me. I needed it to be ordered differently. Yeah, You First is...
Yeah, I listened, so... Just for, like, a little peek behind the curtains, I listen to these albums a few times before I even write notes. Mm. So, I listen to
you
it.
You do?
I listen to them, well, so, episode 1, End of the State. That one I knew well enough that, like...
We all know
Enemy. Yeah. But, like, even for Killers, like, I needed to remind myself a lot about the tracks that I don't listen to a lot. Especially Twilight Zone, since it's so hard to find. So, like... With this one, because I was going in, like, completely new to it, I listened to it maybe, like, 2-3 times. And then today was when I was listening to it in bed, and I was actively typing notes. Because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I really like this guitar part. I really like this bass line. Or, like, ringtone intro is fuck. Like, I remember all that stuff. So I would just, like, type that out quick so I don't have to worry about pausing and, like, typing ideas, pausing it. Or, like...
Yeah.
But there are times where, like, I'll hear something, like, man, I gotta hear it again. Like, I gotta go listen to, you know, go back a few times. But most of the time, I do try to listen to these albums a few times before I take notes because I don't want it to be, like, just my raw idea right away. Because I remember the first time I listened to This Is Why. And I was, like, at first, I was, like, oh, okay. And then I listened to it again. I was, like, oh, you know what? Like, I wasn't paying attention to this. Like,
when you're listening to it with intention.
Yeah, and I wasn't paying attention to the bass groove, and, like, I got the, like, very chanty thing, but for some reason, the sitcom intro came to me as I was writing it, and I was like,
I don't leave the house.
Yeah, and because it says house, like, our house in the middle of our street. Like, literally, that's what was going on in my head, and I was like, not the vibe. It's not the vibe.
But it kind of is. Like, yeah, this album has, like, kind of, like, funky 80s kind of
they have that weird point in music where, like, the psychedelic 70s were going into that groove funk 80s and, like, they found a weird spot where it mixes both and it works. It's not bad. I highly recommend everybody go listen to this album. It's a solid piece of music from a band I know nothing about, or I know a little more about because of this, like,
yeah,
but hell yeah. We are coming towards the end of this episode, Alex, do you have things to say and
plug? Oh, man, do I have things to plug.
So many plugs.
All the plugs. I am Alex Webster. Thank you so much for having me, Danny.
Absolutely. Three episodes in a row.
Yes, I know. I am the co-host and co-DM of Horrible People's Podcast. I'm the co-host there, and I am the co-host and I'm a player. I don't know how to phrase that.
Player DM.
I'm a player DM.
Part-time player, part-time DM,
All D&D of Turning Tables Podcast. Horrible People's Podcast is a weekly horror podcast where we cover a movie, TV show, video game, some horror piece of media. So you can check us out there on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast, which is H-O-R-R-O-R-B-L-E People's Podcast. And then if you're interested in the fantasy side of things and the D&D side of things, I am a co-DM alongside with Danny on Turning Tables Podcast. And you can find all of our shenanigans there as an actual play D&D podcast at Turning Tables Podcast on Instagram.
Hell yeah. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Episode 3 in the books. This podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod and myself on Instagram at Wrathchild714. Something I should have been plugging actually for the first two episodes and I didn't for some reason is you guys can follow me on Untappd. Untappd is beer Instagram or beer rating Instagram. It's UNTAPPD. It's an app where it's social media. You go in, you would look up, like I could look up Chromosphere, take a picture of it, put up, I'll check in like, hey, I tried this, mm-hmm. and you give it a rating out of 5 bottle caps. If you want to find me there, please do. My username is same as my Instagram. It's Wrathchild714. Please go check it out. I currently have 1,854 beers checked in. So if you guys want to see what I've been drinking, what I've had to drink.
The man loves beer. Go listen. Go listen. Go see what he's drinking.
Yeah, go check it out. I think it's a lot of fun. And it's cool to see, like, especially if you're not from California or if you're traveling, you could check in these like beers you would have never even thought you would try because you just happen to be out of town. So go download Untappd, create a profile, come find me. Follow the network at Alex. What's the network called?
The network is called the Horrible People's Network. We have 4 flagship podcasts, so you can check us all out at Horrible People's Network on Instagram, which is H-O-R-R-O-R-B-L-E People's Network.
Please go follow the network. We're posting so many shenanigans, and you can go and listen to all of the previous shows mentioned on here. But until next time, I did not change my outro for this, but I guess until next time, wish ill on the people who did wrong to you.
Yeah, I think that's
fuck
fair.
Them. They don't deserve
they
a
don't
better
deserve
life.
You. They don't, yeah. And they don't deserve you.
Girl, same.
Bye.
Good night. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROR. People's Network on Instagram.